broadcasting live from high atop the BBS Talk Radio building. You're listening to the Sam and Manu Show.
Good morning and welcome to Friday.
Good morning. Good morning, Manu. It is Friday.
How are you?
Although it's not going to be Friday for me.
No?
No.
Why? Are you working today?
I am not working today, but I'm working tonight.
Oh, tonight. That's right, for the dealer. Dogs.
And no.
No?
Actually, for the restaurant. In the bar.
Oh.
So tonight and tomorrow night, you will find me up at the bar in the Waffle.
Okay, well, we'll look for you.
You ain't coming around. No, but yeah, tonight and tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice. I'm going to give it a test run, see what the nights are like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you never... But you get off at 9 o'clock. You know what the nights are like. You mean later on?
No, I mean later on, because we're dealing with a whole different crowd.
Right.
You know, after 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So...
oh, it's a different crowd.
Oh, yeah, completely.
It's not for food. Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well,
how
it's a
are
bar.
They different?
It's a bar.
I understand.
People are going there to drink.
Okay, so once
and
they're drunk...
And get sloshed.
Okay, so at 10 o'clock, they're pretty much...
Well, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, then that's when you're getting, you know, the regulars.
Yeah.
Staying for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 drinks, you know what I mean?
How could people drink so much? That's beyond me, you know.
Hey, I used to do it.
I don't understand that.
I used to do it.
I mean,
oh, my God.
Just the taste makes me want to puke, you know.
You don't drink?
No, I don't. But, well, I do, you know, every once in a while, you know, just very socially. But I could go through... my entire life without drinking.
Really?
You know, yeah. It just
wow, I wish I could say that.
Yeah.
My God. almost every single night I drink.
Yeah.
Not one or two or anything. I mean, not, you know, more than one. I mean, I might have one, a glass of wine or, you know, just one single drink. But, yeah, almost every night.
Yeah.
Almost every night.
Do you look forward to that drink?
No, not at all. It's just, you know, it's offered or, you know, when I've gone home, there's a bottle of wine, so I'll have a glass of wine.
Right.
You know.
So you're not like an alcoholic. I mean, you're not preoccupied with this.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Yeah.
I mean, if I turned around and said, okay, that's it, I'm not drinking anymore.
Right.
Then, I could turn around and say, okay, no more.
Yeah, so you could do it. I mean, you could just stop.
Yeah, because I have good willpower that way.
Yeah.
And I don't have an addictive personality. So
You're lucky
not at
that
all.
Way. Yeah.
I know.
I'm
so
the exact
many people,
opposite.
Yeah, so many people have addictive personalities that they have to be very careful
with
what they pursue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they take up smoking, you know they're going to be stuck with smoking. If they take up drinking, it's going to become worse.
Right.
Gambling, you name it.
Yeah.
Any little project.
Most addicts are addicted to more than one thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, like computer programming. I mean, it's whatever they find, and then all of a sudden they get like really into it.
Yeah.
It's not half-assed.
I know.
You know?
It's pretty sad.
I mean, it's full on.
But I guess there's a whole science to addiction. You know, I mean, they had a cover story in Newsweek the other day.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, on addiction. I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet, but it looks pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everything boils down to a science, you know, and I think addiction is hereditary. I really do.
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think any... Well, you know what? You're probably right. You're probably right. Because there's no one in my family that is addicted to anything.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can't say there's any, like, drug addictions going on. I mean, no one has done, as far as to my knowledge, no one's done any hard drugs or anything apart from weed. I know my two older brothers were obsessed with weed for a while there, but I think every guy, every teenage boy, I suppose, or young 20s who grows it in the backyard freely.
Yeah, or they can just pick it up at school. I mean, it's just so available.
Back in the day, my brothers used to grow it in the mangroves.
Oh, they did.
Up in the trees.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you lived on a farm. You could do that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, who the hell would be the wiser?
My father. My father used to get so pissed, eh?
Oh, really? He didn't like that?
Oh, yeah. My dad's so anti-weed, it's not funny.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what is funny is when you see older people smoke weed.
Yeah, like I told you. Remember old Bob?
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
It's so funny because it doesn't look like it belongs together.
No, it doesn't. I was like checking him out. I was like, wow, Bob, you go, dude. That's really cool.
Yeah.
take another whiff.
Yeah, as I've said before, I think a lot of people smoke weed, you know. It's yeah. definitely back in style.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it never left, you know.
Yeah.
Never went out of style. But, yeah, so a lot of shit is happening, and I just wanted to sort of like go over Gary Garver's show last night.
Yes. Okay?
I mean, I told you these guys are like wild and everything. Right?
Yes.
He and Fat James, and you met him here.
Yes, I yeah. have.
So I brought Gary on board, you know, knowing that he's going to do a great show, you know,
yeah.
he's and bring a lot of listeners with him.
Right.
Right. So because for those of you who don't know, Gary Garver has worked with the Howard Stern Show for many years, being their entertainment reporter here in Hollywood.
Yes.
So, you know, he goes out and interviews celebrities and so forth. He started his own internet TV station and something similar to ours but with video, and he's got a lot of different things going on, you know. So I went and offered him the opportunity to do a show on our station, you know.
Yeah, Thursdays.
Because I felt, you know, I mean, it would bring something to the station that is
okay. Where is this going?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just going to tell you. I'm just reminding everybody how this is going.
Because I know when people look at the website, they go like, "Oh my God, Gary Garver! You got Gary Garver on your station?"
Really? People have said that?
Oh yeah.
Really?
They're like, "Oh my God, he used to work with Howard Stern."
Yeah, he still
and
does.
And I said, "I think he still does, to my knowledge."
Yeah.
I mean, and I think this kind of like proves what kind of station we're building.
Yeah.
Or popularity, at least.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that it all seems fine on paper.
Right.
Until you actually get into it. And then you realize maybe it's not what I bargained for, you know. So, the thing is that I gave Gary 3 hours a week
yes.
to do whatever he wants.
Yes.
Okay? Now, that's worth money because I could fill that those time slots with other hosts.
Right.
Right. So he's getting quite a bit of free time here to do his thing. I told him you can do whatever you want. You know, you're not restricted by anything. Use whatever language, whatever show you want. And he said, great. He was really excited about it, and we were happy to bring him on board. And I figured, you know, he's going to bring a lot of listeners with him, and we'll get exposure for the station. So it'll be worth it, you know. I mean, he can do his own thing, and we'll have him on the station, you know. And but the thing is that, you see, just because you're famous or somewhat famous does not necessarily make you a great asset, you know. So now, on his first show last week, he didn't promote anything, and they didn't have many listeners.
Right.
So this week, we sat together and we, you know, talked about how we can promote his show and everything so many people will know about it, you know, because obviously people do like him. He said he gets a lot of traffic to his website and everything. So I figured, great. So yesterday, I mean, this week they've really promoted the show, apparently on both his websites, on the Stern Fan Network, which is a forum, and on MySpace several times, and apparently sent some email out. Okay. The bottom line, there's hardly any listeners. Now, this is after promoting. This is Gary Garver that everybody is excited about and thinking, wow, you know, you got a, you know, a prominent host, you know, somebody who people know and stuff. Yet he wasn't able to generate the traffic at all, not even close to
right.
what I expected. So all that is fine and dandy. You know, all that is fine. But I just wanted to set this up for you so you understand what he's getting here, what a treatment he's getting, right? But there's no way we're going to treat anybody, you know, like better than all the other hosts. Everybody here is equal. You know, they're all equally important to the station. So apparently he came into the station, and, you know, I'm like listening to it at home and dead air. You know, 5 o'clock comes, 5:01, 5:02, nothing's going on. And I knew that Johnny Dam's going to help him set up and everything. And he helped Merrill that came before that, too. Are you getting bored?
No, okay. I'm wondering yeah. where it's going.
Okay, well,
it's
good. That's how you tell stories, you know.
Well, I mean, no, I'm
you
waiting.
Pick interest. Okay, because
I'm waiting.
Okay, good. So stop me at any time if I get too boring. But no, so I mean, I just wanted to present the situation to you because it's a unique situation with a host that is known, and so that's what I was doing. So at any rate, dead air, right? And I'm trying to find out what's going on, and finally I get on the air, and I want you to hear what I heard. Okay, so hold on just a second. Let's see which one should go first. Okay, I'll start this one first. I think that was the beginning of the show.
At what time?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What were you asking?
What time? Because you were saying that it was dead air.
Yeah, between 5 and 5:05 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, hold on a second. Let me see which one.
Johnny, come here. Johnny, get over here. Shut up, James! Fucking irritant. Fucking irritant. What's this masturbation shit anyway? Dude, what happened to all my songs? Oh, there they are. Okay, so what's the phone number here, Johnny? Johnny, get on the mic over there. You work here, right?
Yeah, well, I have a show here.
This hold on. Just get on the fucking mic. This is how I do my show. This is real radio.
Okay, so this is how this started, okay?
Sounds to me that Gary was getting a little, like, peeved with James and just, like, cut it out, James. We're trying to get something started here. Just stop fucking around.
All right, so let's hear the second one.
Johnny, come here. Johnny, hold on. Shut up!
Hold on.
So is this on air?
Yeah.
Hey, Sam. Caller, are you there?
Tell him to call on the line here.
Hello, Sam. Caller, are you there?
Hey, Sam. Meryl turned the board all the way down and didn't tell him. She pulled the main down and everything.
Get her off the fucking air!
Oh, my head! Jesus Christ!
Can you hear me now?
I can fucking hear you. They can hear you in Tokyo.
Yeah, let me turn your headsets down there.
Today,
no, I can't hear anything when you do that.
Okay, well, I was just, so I didn't want you to get
Jesus back. Christ.
Today,
can you hear anything?
Oh, I can hear everything.
Okay, I can hear something now.
Jesus.
Is the show starting here?
It started.
Yeah,
Has it started?
Yeah.
Are we on the air?
We're on the air.
Holy fucking Christ almighty. I don't fucking believe this shit.
Now it's way too fucking
You know what? This is my last show here.
What? I can't hear nothing.
It really is. I'm not bullshitting because, the bottom line is that, you know, I have 25 years of professional experience in radio. All right, I fucking worked for KLSX for 18 years here in Los Angeles. The Howard Stern Show I still continue to work on, and I don't even know what the fuck is going on here.
Glory,
and this guy Johnny Dam, he just bailed out, and he's not even going to give me
Okay, so this is how the show began.
Right.
Now you give me your impression. Tell me what you think. Don't try to second guess me. What do you think?
I think that he was like one, there was a huge distraction.
Right.
With James.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
But let's say he's accustomed to that. Okay, they're together all the time.
Yeah, I know, but you know, sometimes when you like when you're trying to like figure out what the board is, or are we on air, are we not? I mean, you know what I mean?
Okay, but why start figuring out the board now? I mean, I invite every host to come in here.
Right.
I show them how to do everything. It's very simple. There's not a lot to do here. There's a couple buttons and the computer, you know. So he went over this. He knows how to use it. And you heard him say, you know, I know how to use the board. Show me the phone calls and all that stuff. So Johnny was showing him, but he was abusing Johnny here, and that's what I didn't appreciate at all. Also, you heard what he said about Merrill Davis, you know, get the bitch off the air. Okay, now this is a person that is coming to as a guest to a radio station, okay, and he gets to do anything he wants, everything's catered to him, and he sits here with this sense of entitlement, like, hey, I'm here, you know. Do this for me, you know. It's like you don't go on the air like this, you know. You just don't. I don't care what kind of show you have. Mm-hmm. You don't go out. So the bottom line is, and I'll play you some more when I called him, okay? But let's just say that throughout the show, he would not let this go. So the way I saw it is this. Look, let's say a couple minutes in the beginning you had a problem, right?
Right.
But listeners are joining all the time. They most listeners probably did not hear that it happened.
Right.
Right? And the ones that do probably forgot about it already after 5-10 minutes into the show. But he keeps reminding and keeps bringing it up. Like, I'm not going to do the show anymore. What the fuck kind of a station is this? Blah, 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 blah. Bad-mouthing us to the world. You know, now, I think that's going beyond what is acceptable. You know, it's like going and shitting where you eat. You know, and then I want to... So, the thing is, in the beginning of the show, I called right as he came on the air. And I apologized to him, and I said, I should have been there. You know, and so I think that would have been it. You know, you just put it in the drawer and keep going. Mm-hmm. But he kept on going the whole fucking
show.
So
why was it dead air in the beginning? Because of the computer over there?
Because, you see, this is the output buttons here.
Right,
and apparently Meryl pulled them all the way down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so then you don't hear anything. They may have started the show, but you can't hear anything.
Right.
You know, and if I was here, I would catch that. But I couldn't be here yesterday. But the thing is it just shows me I have to do things myself for a while until
right.
everything is smooth. But so then I want to play you a little. So the thing is that then I called and I spoke to him. Okay. So
is this another Dr. Bell thing?
No, we're not going to go through the whole thing, Manu. Okay. But just kind of. Just kind of listen.
No, I mean your voicing of Dr. Bell.
Yeah.
Called him all the names under the planet, on the earth, and, you know, and everything like that.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, Dr. Bell is your best friend now.
No, I wouldn't say that. Not even close. But I talked to him once, that's about it. You know? Yeah. So let me cue up this thing here. But I don't know, maybe I'm overreacting, Manu, but... You know, I mean, to me, it just sounds like it's not professional at all. You know, it's really not professional. And personally, I was hurt by this, you know, because I really had high hopes for it. And we had, and the previous day, we sat at Starbucks, had coffee, laughed, everything was fine. He's such a nice person, and he is. When he puts on his persona in the air, it becomes somebody else. They become like 2 15-year-olds. And that's what the show sounded like.
Right.
It really did. I'm not going to play you, you know, 3 hours worth of stuff, not even 2 minutes worth of it, that, you know, whatever had to do with how they behaved.
Right.
That's their show, okay? I found it to be very infantile, okay? That's just my opinion. You know, the way they talk to the porn stars that called in and everything, you know? It's just, it wasn't going anywhere, and he felt it was a bad show. He kept saying that. But why say it? You know, if you're a professional, say it when the mic's are off. That's the way I view it. At any rate, listen to this. I called in, okay? And
CBS Talk Radio on the line, too.
Hello there.
Oh, okay, the boss is on.
Sam.
Yeah,
hey,
hold on.
Sam.
Hold on.
Oh, hold on okay. there.
Hey, I know you're stroking your cock right now, Sam. So,
yeah,
you
Sam,
know.
Jacking yeah. off, Sam.
Yeah, Sam, jacking off. Yeah, I like that fucking fist in the ass. Yeah, Sam, yeah.
Fat James,
yeah.
get laid.
Yeah, I'm going to get Fat James laid. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, we're going to film it. Yeah, Sam, we're going to film it. Yeah.
It's curtains for him.
Yeah, Sam, stop jerking off. Yeah, Sam, get these phones fixed. Yeah, what the fuck are you doing there, Sam? Aren't you running this thing? Yeah, Sam.
I'm Iranian, Sam, yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a Jew. Yeah, Jew. Yeah. That's why. That's why you're cheap. Yeah. See?
Hello?
Okay. Can I say a word now? My God, you
Hi,
guys
Sam.
Are all... Hi.
Hey, Sam, you bought a blowjob. Yeah, see? Which is a free blowjob. Yeah,
so
see? Just got to film it. Yeah, see?
No, that's
we'll cut
scary.
Off your head.
That's
yeah.
Scary.
We'll put an OJ mask on you, Sam.
That's
yeah,
scary.
See? Go ahead.
Okay, well, you guys got to have either a conversation or a monologue, you know, but we can't do both at the same time.
Oh, we can do whatever the fuck we want here. We're fucking working for you for free. In fact,
okay,
we're paying $20 for parking, okay?
Listen to me.
Listen to you. What are you, my
I
boss?
Do,
listen to Sam.
I want to apologize to you for the difficulties in the beginning. It was my fault. I should have been there, okay? So relax. Do your show. You sound great. And that's it. Just relax.
Sam, shut the fuck up, would you?
Hey, Sam,
I mean, come on.
Sam,
seriously.
Sam, they called him. You know the Gestapo down at the bottom of the
is that James?
Here,
that's
where, they, where you got to go through the construction and all that crap to get in here? They called him
right.
James Garver.
Yeah, I'm James Garver now. Thank you.
James Garver.
Could you at least get my name straightened out up there, down there, please? I mean, I just want my name straightened so they know who the fuck I am. You know, I walk in here.
You see, it's this sense of entitlement that I'm like feeling throughout this whole thing. It's like,
right.
Here, it's me. And, I mean, this is maybe the way a star, an asshole star celebrity would behave.
Right.
But Gary's no big celebrity. Okay, so let's...
Yeah, we sit here in an hour traffic, pay $20 for parking. They fucking search me like I'm the fucking, like the Al-Qaeda,
you know? You look like a dirty towel head.
I mean, and then they call me James Garver. And then we come in here and this chick that you have on, Meryl, is she paying for time here?
Okay, Gary.
I want to know.
Calm down.
Is she blowing you for time? Sam, is she blowing you for time?
Is she here? Right before him.
Yeah, she was.
Okay.
Why don't you talk to that sexy girl on the phone instead of fucking ranting so much? Well,
you called us. Hey, the lines do work. I know how to hit it now. Thanks,
person?
Sam. You don't have to be here anymore.
That's what I wanted to make sure.
I love
to make sure you,
Sam.
You can pick up more than one.
No, there's another person.
You're doing a great job, Sam.
I love you, Sam.
There's at least three guys.
No, it's me on the line with Gary and Fat James.
Oh, okay. It sounded like that there was another laughter going on in behind.
No.
Right. Gary, relax, and I'm going to make it up for you. I'm going to fuck you in the ass.
Well, you know what? I don't know about being fucked in the ass, but at least pay us $20 for parking every week, okay?
Okay, I'll give you the fucking $20 for driving.
All right, that's all we care about. We just need the $20 for parking, because that really pisses both of us off.
Okay.
I love you, Sam.
Sam,
right.
I'll give you a
everything. You just relax. Everything is going to be taken care of.
Now what? How do I click you off? Did I just hit the red line with your.
There you go. Yes.
Let's see. There you go. Okay. Let's see what I did. Okay. There I did. I just clicked his ass off. Okay, Sassy. You back? We're back.
Okay. So that was that. You know. And the thing is that yes, there's funny parts and everything, but the thing is that I think he ruined his own show. Okay.
Right.
I watched him self-destruct on the air. And then around 7 o'clock, they must have taken a break and then decided that, hey, maybe we should actually make a show here. So they started talking about, more serious things, you know? Not that I need them to talk about serious things, but it seemed like suddenly they became more professional.
Right.
And presented the show that was actually going somewhere. Now, they had a great guest, okay? This guy is a writer. He wrote a book on how to pick up women and so forth, you know. So it was very interesting. He had some good techniques and all that. But he was totally overwhelmed by them, you know. I mean, they totally overwhelmed him, you know, and overpowered his ability to express himself. So every time he was answering a question, you couldn't even hear what he was saying. You know, so there's a potentially great show, okay, and he drove it to the ground, you know, which baffles me. I just don't understand.
All you need to do is just talk to him.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Come on, Sam.
I don't know.
Yeah, you just
no,
say
I mean, look, I would talk to him, of course.
Yeah.
My question is, do we keep something like this on the air or, you know, I mean, can this be corrected? Do you think after I talk to him, he'll mellow out or what?
No, I mean, you can just say, look, I've listened to your shows on you know, other stations and everything like that, and, you know what I mean? That's what we're looking for, but a little bit more irreverent and not, I mean, you just say what you have to say. Exactly. Just get
well,
it
what
out
I
of
have to say, what I have to say is that the man's walking around with a strong sense of entitlement, and it just doesn't belong here. You know, I think we've given him a lot in return for this, Manu.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, I treat him well. I give him whatever he wants. And then he comes in and he trashes everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? Trash me all you want. But Johnny and Meryl, I mean, they're an asset to the company. They're good people.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and to blame everybody for his problems, especially since he claims he's got so much experience on radio and all that stuff. Okay, so you need to be professional about it.
Yeah.
You know, take a quick break, figure things out. You know, and call me. Call me. Do something. But to sit here and bitch and rant from the beginning and they just screwed up their whole show, you know. But there was one good part, Manu, and I'm going to play that for you. They got a girl, a porn star, to masturbate on the air for them.
Yeah, but you have to understand, this is the kind of show, you
right.
I mean, you have to almost segregate exactly what he's trying to do. This is what I'm thinking, right?
Right? Uh-huh.
You almost have to really segregate what he's trying to do.
Right.
And if you feel, and this is my opinion, because Merrill is obviously on right before him.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now also, okay, let's look at a couple of things. Mm-hmm. All right. You got Merrill.
Right.
Sweet. I love her. Right. I mean, I like her. You know what I mean? I like her a lot.
Uh-huh.
So maybe we could either keep her show there and then have an hour, you know what I mean? So there's not Merrill and then him trying to come in.
No, but
right
it doesn't mean that just because he's following her that there's going to be a problem every time.
No. I'm just talking about, it's got nothing to do with that. I'm just talking about having a space because Merrill is who she is and Johnny right. Dam is who he is and mm-hmm. Merrill, you know, she's way more toned, way more, you know what I mean? And right. then, boom, we've got definitely a very irreverent show, which is mm-hmm. what we are promoting because we can speak our mind, we can say what we want and
right.
whatever,
right.
admittingly to a certain extent, right?
Right.
But then have that gap, or either have Gary move his show somewhere, or move it later,
mm-hmm.
because he talked about parking. Where is he parking? We're down where
we are.
I
don't know where they park, but I'll give him the fucking $20. But again, to bitch about it on the air constantly,
yeah.
you know, someone
no,
like
no.
him to
mean,
bitch about $20. But that's not the point.
But I mean,
you know?
There
the
is after 6 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he comes in at 6 o'clock, right?
Right.
He can park anywhere on the streets
mm-hmm.
for free.
Yeah.
So,
but somehow I don't think that's the issue here. You see, the issue, Manu, is that if you are a listener, a new listener, you come on the air and you hear Gary Garver, let's say you're his fan, and you come and you hear Gary Garver saying, this station sucks, it's fucked up, you know, I'm not doing shows here anymore, all that shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not, I don't think it's fun to listen to, you know? I mean, what, is he trying to imitate Howard Stern? Howard Stern is a genius. Nobody can imitate him. You know, when he does something, he does it with class, it's entertaining. But this was just a fucking bitching, you know? And that's
right.
what bothered me, you know? But I don't know, we'll see, we'll talk it out. He's a nice guy. I just wanted to bring this up because I'm not prepared
but
for anybody to badmouth
however,
the station.
I,
on my time, on
yeah.
my equipment, on my money, he's going to sit here and badmouth the station.
Right.
Just don't do the
right.
show.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah. But
I personally don't think, because of the show that he's going to bring, and we know what it is, okay, we already knew. After that first day interview, I was like, wow, we got something like really wild coming in on air. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's just like straight up and told me, I'd love to bang you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
he didn't even say
other
that.
Things.
He said, would you fuck me? That's what he said.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
And then he
yeah.
says, I'd love to bang you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also
but you
said
see,
that.
But
too.
That, I mean, they came on here and they put on an act, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what I'm saying. It's not the essence of his show. If he wants to do a shitty show, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not going to, that's why I'm not talking about the content of the show.
Yeah.
Or the way he spoke to everybody else.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just took it personally, and I don't see how else I could take it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, all you have to do is just talk to him, I say. But I also feel, too, because of Merrill, who she is,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel that would be a good slot for her or, you know, like to have him right after the other.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Well, I'll think about that.
Yeah.
Do you want to see just a listen to a little part of his show here? Here, check this out.
Hey, sometimes you got to go through the fucking nasty, crusty chocolate to get to the cherry inside.
You're fucking eating a lot of chicks,
God.
Babe. I'll tell you, man.
Yes, it's true.
Is your ass clean, babe? I bet it's
yes,
shit.
Oh,
hey, hey, Jasmine.
I do anal on film.
I want you to do something for me. You got that vibrator still?
Oh.
Yes, I do.
Shove up your ass.
Can you stick it in your ass right now?
Don't lie.
Come on. Don't
yes,
lie.
Yes, I can.
Shh. All right, do it. We want to hear it.
Do you hear it? I do have a toy with me.
Okay, so go.
So
we all right, we want to hear you fucking stick it in your ass right now.
Do it.
Shut up. We're just going to listen. We're just going to listen to you. Now go ahead and do it.
Okay, let's see if we can hear this.
This is a porn star, so she has no trouble with that.
No, not at all.
Ooh. Oh, God, it's stretching my little tight ass.
Is it, baby?
I feel it vibrating deep inside my ass.
Play with your clit. Play with your clit while you're fucking banging that ass.
I'm rubbing my clit really fast.
Are you? Why you stick it in your ass?
I'm just pounding my little asshole.
Do it.
Really hard.
Do it.
I wish you could see it right now.
I do too.
Does your cell phone have a camera?
I bet it's the hardest thing ever. I bet her clit looks like sunshine.
Better than roast beef.
My clit.
All right, do it. Shut up. Let's hear it.
You're making me want to play with my clit right now.
Do it. Play with your clit. Do it.
You gonna make me get really wet for you?
Yeah, I want you to get wet for me right now.
She ain't doing it. Come on.
Shut up. We got 20 minutes of the show. Shut up.
I am
touching myself right now.
Yeah, she's touching herself. I can feel it. My dick's hard.
Yeah.
Do it. Play with yourself. Describe what you're doing.
I have my hands underneath my panties right now. My legs are really spread wide open. I'm getting myself really wet right now. Rubbing it really fast.
Well, she's a great actress. That's for sure. But so that's a little taste of the Gary Garver show. You know, and I mean, he can do something with that, you know, but
yeah.
It's just, I don't know, they come across as like two teenagers, you know, just hungry. But the thing is, in real life, he's not like that at all, you know. So anyway, but that's what the radio is about. You let yourself be who you can't be in real life, you know?
Yeah.
And you say things. So, you see, that's what I'm saying. I have no problem with that, okay? But you don't come and insult me and my station and my host. It just doesn't fucking work that way.
Well, that's all you have to say.
Yeah.
That's all you have to say.
Yeah.
Really. That's all it is.
And bring
that's
the fucking
all you
listeners
have to
too.
Say. Yeah. Well, you know, we're all working on that. Speaking of that, before we go on a break, I had the Onion newspaper come and see me at, you've heard of the Onion?
Well, I brought it in
remember?
The other day.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyways, they came in yesterday to, the Waffle up at the lounge there and started speaking with me, and apparently, because we are a family restaurant, we cannot promote the bar.
Right.
So basically, I am the one, because I'm attached to something else, like BBS Talk Radio.
Right.
I'm the one that can promote the bar.
I see.
Yeah. So, they can promote the waffle, the food, and everything like that. But when it comes to the bar and alcohol, they can't do a thing.
Really?
Yeah, because of the lore and some bullshit lore. Anyways, so they've let me go ahead and figure something out. And so the Onion came and see me yesterday, and they can do the waffle is going to pay for it if they go through with it. Not only promoting BBS Talk Radio with me in it,
right.
Our show in that, mm-hmm. but the connection with the Waffle Bar as well.
Mm.
So not only are we going to get a promotion of the Waffle Bar, but it's going to be a promotion of BBS Talk Radio as well.
Sounds good. Well, I'm looking forward
yeah?
to that.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Do we have a call?
Yeah, we have a call. Good morning. You're on the air
on
with
the
Sam
air.
And Manu.
Let me go ahead. Howdy.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this Sam?
Oh, it's Sam. Manu? Yes, it is.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing, Sam? How are you doing, Manu? This is Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Well, of course we know who it is, but...
Hey, darling, I'm really so sorry to hear about your mom.
Oh, yeah.
But at least
sweet.
We made her laugh, yeah. right? We were making
yeah.
her laugh.
Yeah, her last days, we entertained her, I think, and that was good, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, look at Doug, you know. I mean, he's going through that, you know. That alone would... depress any person, but Doug keeps his spirit up, you know.
Yeah, he does.
And I admire you for this, Doug, you know.
Me
I mean,
too.
Always able to laugh and smile and that, you know.
You know, I'm actually starting to get my, it's been one of the toughest 6 weeks I've ever had, but through it all, with all the bad news I had, you know, it couldn't get much worse. So I just thought to myself, geez, this is good. Maybe I'm going to die. Okay. Well, and then that just kind of blew by me. I figured, well, what the hell? Good. You know, sometimes you get to a point where you're so depressed, you say, who gives a fuck? Life's not that great. Take me,
yeah.
take me.
Yeah, I know. You almost look forward to that, yeah, to death.
You do. Yeah. You do. And then when it turns around, you figure, okay, I'm not going to. And then the people are dying around you. You say, yeah. When things go really bad, I think everybody needs to hit lows. Because without the lows, how do you know what the highs feel like, that they're worth it? You know?
There you go. True. There you go. And that's a very strong spiritual point, you know, that I claim when people ask, why is there so much evil or you know, in the world or that. The point is that in order to have good, you have to have bad. So
right.
You can measure it against, you know.
And, you know, I you know what the worst was?
What was that?
Listening to Carver's show. That was real low.
Are you talking about now, or did you listen to it last night?
No, I was just listening to it now after you guys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yesterday was a bad time. We had all the family over, taking care of arrangements, you know.
Yeah.
And I just bought this $2,000 bed, you know, just a box frame. So, because my mom was at, last week, she was really scared because of her heart condition. She couldn't get up, or she really wanted to lay down with her head up, sitting down.
Right.
That was the best way for her to sleep in the last few days.
Right.
So she was afraid to lay down because as soon as she got up, she'd go through 2 hours of pain no matter how much liquid morphine she was on.
Oh,
and this
right.
is a lady that was walking through it all. You know, up until 2 days ago, 3 days ago, she was walking, getting around, doing dishes, smiling. And 5 years ago, she should have been in the hospital bed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how much strength my mother has.
I know. It's amazing. It really is, you know, and she's lasted a while. But you know what? The part that fascinates me the most, Manu, and I told Doug this, is that, you know, Don, Doug's brother, went down to be with Doug and his mom.
Yeah.
And a couple of days after he got there, she passed away.
Yeah, it was like,
it's almost like she waited for him.
Yeah,
to come and
do.
Say goodbye,
yeah.
and then they go. But well, you say most people
waited
do.
Waited to see the grandchildren. Don brought up 4 kids. You know,
oh, wow.
And she just,
yeah.
She saw them. My sister came down. My half-brother that I haven't seen in half a decade
yeah.
actually
wow.
came down as well really quickly. And as soon as everybody left, I remember my sister was here, and she said, Doug, I think I heard her last breath. And I was just sitting there at the table. And I go in, I go, you're kidding. And I touch her on the neck. She goes, I think Tom's dead. Now, this is bizarre. Have you ever seen somebody dead?
Yes, I have.
Really?
Yeah.
You,
yeah.
See, that
so, you know,
freaked me out.
It's very strange.
It is very strange. But, you know, Doug.
It's a weird feeling.
When my best friend died, it was like, you know, I remember getting a phone call at work, and because I worked night work. And I got this phone call, and they said, she's asking for you now. You need to come here to the hospital now. And so, you know, work let me go right away because they knew the circumstances. So I'm like, I'm driving like, hold on, BB, you know, and that's what I was doing. And when I got to the hospital, I get to the reception, and immediately the nurses said, quick, hurry up, go on down.
Mm-hmm.
And then sure enough, when I walked in the door, that's when she took the last breath, and the nurse said, come on over here. She still knows. She knows that you made it. Just hold her hand and just talk to her, because she can still completely hear and everything. So that's what you also had a chance to do too, Doug.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
but
I know.
It's weird.
I feel so lucky.
Yeah.
You are.
I feel so lucky.
Yeah. You are.
You see,
actually,
that's the thing. With all the adversity,
I said,
with all the adversity that you're facing right now, you're still being optimistic. I mean, that is like incredible. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You're doing something that a lot of people are not able to do, Doug.
I feel very fortunate. You know, I was really worried back in November when my father passed. It was really alarming because he was under so much. He's another study. You know, he had cancer when I was a boy. I can remember him coughing up blood, entire napkin full. And just when I was, you know, 10, 12 years old, and the University of British Columbia wanted to do a study on him because he was still alive. Everybody he worked with was dead. He worked in asbestos mines in different mines, Canada.
Oh, wow.
And when he was 21 years old, he started getting strokes. That left him somewhat paralyzed, and he lived through them all. And when he did die, he died violently. I mean,
really?
Violently.
Wow.
He died violently because he had cancer through 25% of your body.
Wow.
Can you
imagine the pain and the suffering of that?
Yeah.
And he was really lived 20 years longer than anybody else had. Mm-hmm. And my mother, same sort of a condition where she lived many, many years longer than she ever should have. So I feel lucky in that way, but I also feel lucky that they both died in close proximity with each other.
Yeah, that seems to happen so much, you know? There's got to be something to it.
You got to look at the good stuff.
Yeah.
You got to look at the good stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, but you're going to be coming into town next week, right? Or the week after?
Oh, yeah. I'll be in Wednesday. Mind you, it's just going to be a quick turnaround. But then I'll be flying back and forth. I'll be more mobile.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to the future.
Yes, that's what you got to do.
I really am.
Yeah, I know. I think
BBS Talk Radio, what you've created there is just phenomenal. I think this thing is going to be a lot of fun. This is my future, regardless of the money. You know, I always used to be about the money, 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 money. I grew up. I was thinking money.
Yeah.
You know, and now I've changed. I really want to do what I love.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you, Sam, you found what you love.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Manu? Isn't this something that's enjoyable to you?
Yeah, for sure.
She loves this, yeah, and that's good. It shows, you know, it really
yeah.
does.
You're natural.
I mean,
you got a better show than Carver.
I've had too many people tell me that I'm way exposing myself, but you know what? I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, like, my God, you know, does everything have to be a secret?
Yeah, you can't do radio and not be open and forthcoming, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, obviously, I'm sure there's a lot about Manu that we'll never find out, and we have to respect that, you know? I mean, you don't sit here and reveal your lives. You sort of, like, unfold your personality for the world to see. But, yeah, definitely we don't need to talk
about it. Okay, here's a question. Yeah. Would you ever get on Howard Stern with that drunken dwarf?
what do you mean?
Come on. And he had his four cronies around, and all they were going to do is rip you apart in every direction. Would you do it?
Would you
expose yourself to that level?
Well, no. No, I mean...
No! Ooh, there's a point, Manu. Well, don't touch yourself.
You know, I...
What was he thinking?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. No, not with that drunk... that drunk dwarf. I'd be like going up to bitch slap him, I think. You know, like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
But no, I mean, I...
That would...
I totally would.
You'd do it, Sam?
I would do it, yeah. I mean, I would go on, and I would obviously filter out whatever I didn't want to say. But yeah, I mean, I would love to be there. I mean, it's something I listen to every
really?
Day. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
No matter if they had a monkey dressed up in a monkey suit with a banana, and they wanted you to bend over.
Oh no, not these things. I thought you meant for an interview where he would expect you to reveal yourself.
No. No, he's talking about degrading yourself.
No. That's
what the dwarf does.
Yeah.
That's what the drunken dwarf. Yeah. They make you do that.
Yeah.
There's about four characters right there, isn't
there,
Doug?
They're all
like
pretty retarded, all these characters.
Yeah,
so it's okay, yeah. But no,
I always felt embarrassed for those people that were on the show. There was a lot of them there that I felt so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine.
But you know, I mean, the thing is, the notoriety and fame they get from that is worth it to them. You know, I mean, all of these guys, all those so-called whack pack, they all make money on the side. You know, they do stand up and they have appearances and stuff, and even what's his name, Beetlejuice, was in a dwarf tossing contest.
Oh my God. I mean, you know what, that dwarf tossing, I mean, like, who on earth started that, and why would, you know, these little guys allow people to do that
because
to
them? It's funny.
But you know what I mean? But do they think it's funny?
I think so.
You know what I mean? Are they just really, like, this is absolutely hilarious and yeah. and
well, maybe
cool.
They have a sense of humor, you know.
Maybe they do.
Reality TV today. Look at reality TV. I mean, everybody up there makes a total joke of themselves.
Joke of themselves. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Look at these idiots.
Who's this black guy they have on reality TV who used to be an old time rapper, and they have like 20 girls, hot chicks that want to actually go out with this guy.
Oh, Flavor.
Come on.
I saw that dude in person at the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas, and I looked at him, and I was like, oh my God, that's the ugliest dude I've ever seen. I mean, seriously. I mean, he was so nasty.
You get on TV with this guy and try to, you know, make him love you?
He is so
gross. What if you were famous? What if they gave $1 million? Manu, with $1 million, you have to sit through, put your reputation on the line, get in front of the, you know, the world, and tell them how tend you love this Jack. And when you were finished, everybody thought you really loved him more than anybody else, and you'd die for him. But I gave you $1 million at the end of the show.
You know what?
Do it.
I'd be looking at him and I'd be almost puking. I don't think that I could pull that one off. Honestly, because
you're an actress.
Yeah, I know.
You should be able to pull that off.
But that one there, I mean, like I saw the dude and I swear I saw even tracks up his neck and fucking up his arm and
really?
Shit like that.
You think
he's
got like a big schlong or something like that that keeps all the women enwrapped and you
Orientals. You know, I can't even think, even if he did have a big dick, that would not appeal to me at all because he's some ugly motherfucker and he is so crass. He's so fucking ghetto. And I just don't like dudes like that at all. They absolutely freaking repulse me. Seriously.
How about Donnie Bonaducci? What's his name? Am I correct on that guy?
Danny Bonaducci, yeah.
Danny Bonaducci.
Danny, yeah. There's a nutcase. And then they have some other reality. I'm just watching this. You've got to imagine, I haven't watched TV in 4.5 years. I'm here to my mother's place.
He's a little boring.
Yeah. Oh my God, it never gets boring. I just sit here and go, oh my God, what am I coming to? You know?
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Train wrecks.
And they're making money. They're making money on this.
I know they are. I know they are. You know?
Oh, well. I guess this is a direction of media.
Yeah.
It is. And this direction started coming about when, I think when the, I don't know. The contracts of SAG just weren't fulfilling people anymore. They overloaded the union with non-acting people. Do you know what I mean? Like they saturated, you know, the business with too many people. And I don't know. And I think too with the strike that happened, that because that was in the woodworks. Or in the headlines, okay, there's going to be a writer's strike on. I mean, it was going on all year. So it gave everybody a good chance to prepare and create a reality show to keep things going because you don't need a writer for a reality show. And that's why they're all up and everywhere and going on. Plus, you don't have to pay people that much. There's only the end part, and you don't have to abide by SAG union rules and so on.
Yeah, those reality shows are very profitable. That's why there's so many of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I pose a question. 20 years into the future, what's the reality show going to look like?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're all going to look stupid.
You know, maybe it'll be some swingers reality show where you have a half a dozen guys and a half a dozen girls, and it's to see who each other the best, and the winner that you know, gets most of the women to come at the end of the year wins. Right?
Sounds good.
Mobile package and a trip to Hawaii.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. And then who was it? I don't know. There was something I heard on the Howard Stern. Who's that character that they said they were saying a producer's going to give him a call and offer him a reality show to see who would marry such and such? What was his name? Can you remember?
I don't know.
Some dude. Obviously, no one. But
I don't even know if we can Do we know this guy, how strange it's going to be? Yeah. I mean, nobody 10 years ago would have thought of this.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, look at those who wants to marry a millionaire. Okay, you got that. Oh. And then there's a couple of other shows, reality shows, where they're knocking off women, you know, for the guy to pick his final woman to marry. And they get $1 million and they, you know, in the meantime, you know, they're getting a divorce a year later.
And the, and these women put themselves through so much humiliation.
And,
humiliation. I just don't understand that.
And on top of that, you know, they act so like, oh my God, you know, and then, and this nastiness that comes behind the scenes.
We've actually got a woman out there now that's not only, what is it, the bisexual one that likes women and men, and they set her up with half each?
Ah! You know, are you serious?
You know there's a reality show out there that's been on for the past 6 months that has this lady that was bisexual. She was going out with the guys and the girls at the same time on the show, right?
Oh my God, that is so funny! Are you kidding?
I forget what her name was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
These shows are a train wreck, man. I'm telling you. That's why people
that
like to watch.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't really do that with a man.
I wouldn't have mind being on that show.
you couldn't really do that with a guy, huh? You know, like a bisexual
guy. No matter how spiritual I am, it would be tough to put myself out there. You know, I always say, I wish I could don off these clothes and just be the one man like Gary Carver behind a, you know, in front of the, but it must be one thing to be invisible behind a mic.
Yeah.
But to be visible, I wonder if he could still be the same guy.
If what?
If he becomes
Gary
visible.
Carver was visible.
Right.
Would he still be, you know, flying out there off the cuff?
I don't know, but he sure behaved like he is. And,
well, you know, he does have a fire starter along beside him.
Yeah, but it just, you know, I just felt it wasn't professional. I mean, I like Gary a lot, you know, I think he's a great guy.
It doesn't take much to get up there and just start screaming on profanities, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I don't
know. But you have to plan.
Shows, like, yeah. A lot of good shows, a lot of good shows have, used to be the case where people would take a week and they'd get together articles and they'd put together little skits and they'd design their show and they'd spend a lot of time to get this 1 hour of their radio show right? But today, there's so much reality and there's not a lot of thought and effort put into it. They just get on there, they think of whatever, and they figure, okay. And by the way, my shows on BBS Radio are the same. You know, I just get on there and I talk off the cuff, no big deal.
Yeah.
But the really good shows, they generally have some sort of a prep time.
Yeah, and
I don't know if that's true or not.
And it's got a beginning, a middle, and an end, you know. It's got a flow. It really has to flow. And,
mm-hmm.
and when people come in here and they don't plan what they're going to talk about and stuff, or what they're going to do, it shows, you know, it shows. And
you get dead air, Karen.
Yeah.
Well, that's
unless you got three people like us who just like to gab.
Yeah.
Or two people like you two that do such an excellent job.
Thank you, darling.
You really do.
Yeah, thanks, mm-hmm. man. We're really enjoying this, you know, and it's...
My mom was your biggest fan.
Yeah, I know that. Well, she will be in heaven, too.
I'm so glad we got to talk to her before she did pass away.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. And you know what? I don't know if she knew or not, but she really touched my heart because you know, I didn't have a chance to say goodbye or even write my final letter, you know, to my grandmother. And you know, after I promised my grandmother over and over again that I would write her a letter, and because that was our thing, that was my thing ever since I was a little girl. Even when I was in the military, I still continued to write to my grandma. And
really?
Yeah. And then when I came here to the States, you know, I kept on, yes, Grandma, I'll write to you. And then, of course, Dad would call me like, you ought to write a letter to your grandma. And I was like, yes, Dad, yes, of course. Well, anyways, I didn't get around to it. I don't know, you know, I guess there was so much other shit that was going on. And next thing I know, she passed away.
Nothing to make you feel guilty. Like
yeah, that, I know. You know? But, you know, the thing is I did write my final letter. and I wrote it in big writing, as I usually do, because Grandma was blind. And I FedExed it, you know, like overnight, like instant, because they were going to bury her. And I had my mum put the letter in her grave so she could read it.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
Aww. And I cried that day.
I'm sure.
I cried that day, yeah.
She read it. She read it. She got it.
Yeah.
I believe it. I believe they're actually more with us now than when they passed. That's always kind of strange.
Well, then she knows how naughty I've been.
Yeah. But yeah, you know what? Right. She knows all my secrets now, and I go to bed and I go, I'm sorry, Mom. You know how much of a jackass I am now. Forgive me.
Yeah. You know what? I truly hope the dead people cannot be with us, because I often get distracted when I masturbate, and I'm thinking, what if all these dead people are watching me right now?
You're not the only one. Oh, my
me
God.
Me too. I'm like that, too.
Yeah, it's like you figure, what if I'm not alone, you know? I mean, here I am in this position, you know, holding my dick and stuff, and in this vulnerable position, and there's like probably all the past families standing there watching.
Yeah, right.
You know what? The funny thing is,
don't be jealous. Don't be jealous.
Hey, come on. But I mean, you have to admit, right? Imagining a guy jerking off, even for you, right? For you guys.
Yes.
You're standing there or sitting down or laying in bed, and you got your dick hard, and you're just whacking yourself off.
Right.
Whack, whack, whack. And then you get all tense, and you're like, you know, tightening up all your muscles and you stiffen your legs, and I know how it all goes. Yeah. And it is so not like attractive to imagine a guy whacking themselves off, or even imagining seeing it.
Because you know, I used to have women who loved.
I don't know. Then I ever masturbated for you, Manu, right in front of you where you watch.
Oh, no, man, I can't do that shit. I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You've never told a guy to do it while you were watching?
Hell no.
Yeah. You see, the thing is,
Interesting.
I would prefer to watch a woman do it than a man.
Oh, yeah. But,
So you like to go to the female strip clubs?
Well, yeah, I do.
Yeah, but
I do. Actually, I do.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that I've been asked to do it before, but I just can't, you know, because I have this inhibition that this is what I do privately, you know. I can't do this in front of a person. You know, so
it is. I've been asked. I've done it once.
Guys,
it was strange.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's like you're performing,
hard.
You know.
I mean, you got to get past some weird feelings.
Yeah, but also you have to hold back your facial expressions, you know, you're like tightening
it
up.
You don't want to be vulnerable.
You know, you're screwing up all your face.
But that's when you know. But that's when you know. That's when you know you can truly be yourself around a woman. Imagine that's your test point. That is the point you're trying to reach when you really want to make love to somebody and you can express yourself to the nth degree. If you can be comfortable in that particular sense, don't you think that would be somewhat erotic?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct, you know. But yeah, I think Manu is one of a kind, because I think many women do enjoy watching that, you know.
I don't know. No, I don't
really
think so.
Really, in any position?
No,
if
no,
the guy
no.
Was
we're not
in any
talking
position?
About... Yeah, standing out. It's just the you know, like the whacking off.
The whacking
off.
Hand,
the whole hand going back and forth. And, you
did
know,
you, like,
the
ever,
facial expressions.
When
you
were young, did you ever see a man jerking off?
No.
Oh.
No, not at all.
Because I thought maybe that left you traumatized.
What they say. It's what they say when doing it.
Yeah.
You know, you also got to have words. You just can't have the man you know, can you change. He's got to be cute.
No, you hear this. I mean, that's, you know, you would much prefer to hear this.
But guys don't make sounds. That's what I'm saying.
When he starts sticking his finger up his ass at the same time he's taking himself off the divide, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I had a friend once tell me, he's a cousin, he said, you know, dog, you don't know what a true orgasm is until you just, girl, you're getting rain, you're about to burst, and she sticks her
from like, my brother's girlfriend at the time, and she's like, yeah, no, I'm going to get really, really intense orgasm. And then I have Dr. Sue, Barry Hanson, say the same thing.
You know what?
Really?
Nobody can get within 20 feet away from my asshole. Nobody puts anything in there, including myself. You know? Oh, man.
Oh, no. I just go to That's one area I can't, you know, let myself totally be and just,
No way. No, it's
Have you ever made love to a lady so hard that he lost her,
bowel control?
Yes.
Oh, no, I haven't done that. If I had, I probably would never fuck again.
Oh, my God. You talk about being embarrassed for the person you're with?
Wow.
You had to match. I don't think I've ever been so embarrassed for somebody else, and I tried to be nice about it.
Yeah, as though it doesn't happen.
No, it happened. Yeah. Oh, it's never happened to me. Oh, I was about to say, get the fuck out. No, but I didn't. I was calm. I was cool. I held myself together.
What? Did she shit herself?
Yeah, she shit while she was fucking.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You weren't doing anal, were you?
I think the worst that I've done is did fanny farts.
Yeah.
I've had one blow me back. Blow me backwards. It was so... I swear to God, my hair went backwards. My hair went backwards. That was another embarrassing moment.
Like in a wind tunnel.
but there must have been a big air pocket there, mate.
Yeah, but those pussy farts, those happen usually when the woman gets on her knees and stuff. I don't know why, but it's sort
no,
of like you swallow
positions, yeah.
You swallow air with that, and then it comes out.
Yeah, know? No, it was a pussy fart that blew me backwards.
Yeah.
I swear to God, it shocked me. I thought it was, I was actually, this was very, very profound.
Wow.
I've never heard anything like it.
Wow. You know what I was,
anything like it.
The funny thing, the one with pussy farts, right? I was in primary school, and what was her name? Hazel, I want to say Fuganini? Hazel Fuganini, I think her name was, a crazy name, huh? Anyways, she used to do this thing, you know, like to show off with the guys, with the boys.
Uh-huh.
Used to do these handstands and stay up there and like open up her legs. And then when she used to come down off the handstand,
uh-huh.
right, she would be able to blow this big, massive fanny fart.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No.
And there's this girl. I mean, she was in year 6 or 7 or something like that. I mean, because it was in primary school. And like, oh, my God, how do you do that? You know.
So never got laid, did she?
I have no idea. But I thought it was the most amazing thing. So I think it's all about muscle relaxant, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
But were you doing, Doug?
Well, by the way, I was hearing a show a couple of days ago on somebody saying, with you, Sam, you don't know where the G-spot is.
No, we do. Manu and I were talking about it.
Do you know where the G-spot is, Sam?
Of course we do, but we just talking about
really
the point
exist?
That, yeah, I mean, it's...
Like, how many women? How many...
I mean, probably there are some who will touch it and squirt, but for the most part, it doesn't exist, you know?
Yeah. Well, there is. I've actually taught a woman how to do it.
Yeah.
There is a method. And by the way, so you know, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be telling you this, but
why?
it is a ganglia at the very top, just a couple inches in. Now you can go all the way back and up and around. It kind of feeds upwards. But if that area is massaged and worked, it will actually learn. But there's a way to do that that's a little bit more. I don't want to tell you online.
No,
to
that's
explain
fine.
Explain how you get a woman to feel that sort of a push from her abdomen outwards. But there is a way, and it involves something that's a little bit too kinky to tell you.
Okay, because then I heard something a little different. I heard that if you, like if a woman's on her back and you go in with your fingers and you press down towards her, you know, like as if you're trying to press down towards the rectum,
right.
You know, inside, there should be like a pea-sized kind of lump, you know.
Yeah,
and
but no, it's supposed to be on top, not on the bottom.
But is it on top? Is it on bottom? But
it's
see, I heard
bottom.
It was on
the
bottom.
The abdomen. It's near the abdomen, yeah.
What the hell is it doing near the abdomen?
It's right at the top. It's at the top, maybe about an inch in or a half of an inch, the ganglia at the top.
Right.
You can go kind of out back.
But you know,
there you go.
I've explored that entire area. I never found anything that even made her twitch. Yeah. I mean, you know, it just, it doesn't
seem. I know.
And I've tried it several times.
There's been a lot of exploring happening to me, and I never freaking discovered it. In my, even myself. I'd be like, where is that fucker? I want to find it.
Really? Well, you want to find it? You want me to tell you how? Do you want me to tell you how?
Yeah, sure.
Do you want me to tell you how to actually get yourself squirt?
Oh.
Do you really want to learn?
Yes.
Learn how to squirt from
really?
A man.
That
should
no, be
because
really?
You know, because my boyfriend's ex girlfriend, mm-hmm. he was saying that every time that they had sex, yeah. I mean, she would just orgasm 1, 2, 3, 4 times, and yeah. and she would squirt every freaking
squirt,
time.
Huh? Wow.
They would have to lay towels down before they had sex because she would just release so much fluid.
Wow.
And I like, that really sucks, man. That bitch was getting it out.
It can. You always have to be prepared for a woman like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it needs a lot of massaging. First, you actually have to create, it's like any muscle area or kind of an area that you have to work. You have to learn to massage and you have to work it. It's got to thicken. It's got to become more, just a bigger area. And you do that by working it. That's one. The second, but here, this is really important. In order to get at that same feeling, it's almost like, and most people have never done this, but when you urinate, okay, imagine somebody stimulating you before you have to urinate, and then when you're just about ready to go, that the guy goes in there, you go in there with your finger, and you start to stimulate that upper area like you want to have an orgasm. Like, it's very difficult to do when you have to urinate and you want to have an orgasm at the same time, okay?
Oh, I did hear that, too.
I'm sorry?
I did hear something about that, that, you know, before you orgasm, via the G-spot, it really feels like you're going to urinate.
Mm.
Correct.
So you hold back because you think you're going to pee, but right. It's not. It's actually an orgasm. Mm.
You know what?
Correct.
You know what? It's all like, the whole point is moot. If a woman can have a clitoral orgasm, that's enough, you know? I mean, because these orgasms can be so powerful anyway. Why start having to deal with, feel like peeing, but I'm not going to pee, and this, and find it, and massage it for a long time?
G-spot.
You know that
orgasm.
They have G-spot vibrators, maybe.
Yes, I know. I've seen them.
Yeah, they're sort of like
curved. They have a little curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So try that and see what happens. I'm willing to help you find it. Doug, listen.
Say with Doug.
Doug, we've been talking over an hour here, and we haven't taken a break yet, so
yeah, I'm
we're going to take a break.
I'll let you both go, but yeah. Know this, I'll be listening in. I love you guys.
Thank you, Doug.
Sarah's been watching me swirl around in my chair because I'm so dying to use the bathroom. And here we are talking about peeing.
You're wet, Manu.
It's going to be wet any moment if I don't get there.
I thought you was going to say, I'm getting wet all this
help,
time. But,
help,
yeah, okay,
I'm serious. I'm getting
go
wet.
No,
go, go,
you
go.
Practice.
Go. She had to just get up and go.
I'm going
to
go now.
She's funny.
Don't forget to use every opportunity.
Yeah, I think they're right when they say that women have it. It's harder for them to hold the pee in than it is for men. I don't know, but I just know sometimes I just can't hold it for a second longer. You know. So.
Oh, I got a small bladder. I got to go every 5 minutes.
Yeah. I know. And I tend to drink a lot too. Not alcohol, but just drink a lot of Diet Cokes and stuff. And so
that's just it. When you drink, you can nonstop all day long. That's what I do.
Yeah.
All day long. Yeah. I never even without a drink in my hand.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like that too. I think it's because we smoke cigarettes and stuff. Our throat gets dry all the time. You know.
Probably. But,
yeah.
Probably.
Doug, listen. Yeah. Our condolences again. You know,
Thank
we
you.
Feel for you, and I think about you and Don and I hope you guys will get through it easily and move on with
Thank
life. You know,
God.
And I'm sure she's in a good place now. It can't possibly have been pleasurable to live like that. You know, so
thank you, son.
Yeah, my pleasure, Doug, and we love you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you here, and make sure you block out half an hour at least to come in and sit in on the show, man.
So, hey, I'll be in on Thursday.
Sounds good, man. Looking forward to it.
I love you, my friend.
Love you too. Take care, Doug. Talk.
Karen here. You know, two of my most favorite things in life besides the Cubs are Jews and Australians. And this BBS Talk Radio has them both on one show. Hey, hey, this place is great. Okay, let's get back to California dreaming with my favorite Jew in Australia, Sam and Manu. Hey, Sam. Hey, Manu. Cubs win. Cubs win.
And your favorite Jew in Australia are back.
Hi.
So you made it to the loo in time?
Woo, I ran there.
Yeah.
I ran.
Do you think I was asking Doug, do you think it's harder? I mean, I don't know that anybody would have an answer for this, but how do you think it's harder for women to hold it in than it is for men when you have to go?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think
so.
Why? Well, because our what do you call it? The
urethra.
Yeah, is a lot shorter than the man.
You think?
Than the men's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on top of that, there's no way of, how would you say, I think I said this once before. Uh-huh. You know, really what a man can do to control it is like pinch the end or something like that, or, you know, like hold it or squeeze it between the legs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To constrict it.
Yeah, but it doesn't
help.
You know
what I mean? It doesn't help?
No, it doesn't work, man.
But I tell you what, for a woman.
If it's already there at the tip, you can't.
for a woman, it's so like. Yeah. You know, it gets to a point where you just can't help but let it dribble. It's like, ah!
I know, that's the worst, man.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, man. You know, I've gotten to a point sometimes I can't even walk.
Yeah.
It's like, I try and take a step, and like the moment you take a step.
I know, you know you're going to do it.
It's like, holy shit!
I know, sometimes I get... home just in time, you know, and then the elevator takes its time, and this takes its time, and the fucking lock won't open, and all this, and you just die to go. By the time you're in, you just throw everything that you're holding in your hand.
You're just running for that loop.
Run for it.
I know, I know.
And you try not to pee while you're undoing your pants.
I remember when I was 16, I think I was like 16 years old, me and my girlfriend, this is so crazy. Me and my girlfriend, I was a wild child, you know, in my teens, you know, I was such a naughty, naughty girl, and up to just no good, really I was.
Yeah.
So a girlfriend and of mine, we decided that we were going to go steal a car out of a driveway. So we walked down the street and we saw the car that we planned to steal, you know. So
I can't see you stealing cars.
I did. Yeah. I mean, it was just so rude of me. Yeah. I mean, it really was.
Well, you were a tomboy, right?
The thing is, my brother, my older brother, showed me how to hotwire a car. So that's exactly what I did. So I stole the car, hotwired it, and we took off.
And you were how old, Manu?
16. We didn't have a driver's license yet, right? And so we decide that we're going to drive out of town up into the mountains, kind of like mountains, to a place called Abergary. And Abergary has the Abergary All-Boys College. Now, for some God knows reason, my girlfriend at that time knew one of the boys and had already contacted them and say, meet us at such and such, you know.
Yeah.
So off I'm going for the ride. I just stole a car, right? So we pick up the two boys. We go. We've got the most nastiest booze. I can't remember what we were drinking. And we go to the beach. So we hung out at the beach and so on and thought, okay, well, we got to go home. So we are passing through our small itty-bitty town and the cops have got nothing else better to do but, of course, pull us over.
Oh, of course.
And so, you know, I don't know. I think my girlfriend wasn't drinking and she jumped in the seat because I was so obliterated, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I vaguely remember. I do remember, but I don't. And so she jumped in there. And the police, like, questioned, and we said, well, you know, this is the neighbor's car. He let us use it because we'd already checked out who owned the car and everything, you know?
Yeah.
So we were smart like that, you know? So,
but
anyways.
But we were two fucking kids, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. It was funny, though. You know? So we took the guys, the two guys. Nothing happened between us all.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just all fun play.
Right.
We drop them off, but on the way back, I had this over-freaking-powering need to pee. And I'm not kidding. And the other girl, she's like, well, we got to get home. We got to get home. It's late. You know, my parents are expecting me to be home by this time and so on. And I'm like, okay, okay. So, but it was so bad. It got so bad. I didn't even have time to pull over.
Yeah.
I pissed myself right there while I was driving. Jeez. I looked at her and I says, like, I just peed my pants. No kidding.
Oh, God.
I just peed my pants.
That must have been like the worst feeling, huh?
It was.
I mean, it all sticks to your body.
Yeah, and, yeah. Oh, and it's like, oh, well, we just left a surprise in this guy's car.
A little puddle.
Oh, that would have been so nasty. The guy must have, you know, that's just rude. Wasn't that just rude of me?
No, but you couldn't help it. I mean, this you could have done is clean after yourself.
We didn't have time. We pushed the car back up into the driveway. At least we returned the car.
Yeah, you did. All right. Well, listen, all this talk of peeing now, I have to go and I'm exploding. So I'm going to take another quick song break.
Song break and then come back. We'll fade out.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey. Wow, okay. I hope we didn't have a guest today. I was just thinking about that.
No, we didn't. We don't.
Ooh, thank God.
We did have one, but they canceled. You know, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So, did you notice how light the traffic was this morning? Was it light for you?
Well, I go through the hills.
Yeah.
So I don't go near the freeway.
Yeah, but couldn't you notice like a difference in the traffic or anything?
No.
Because it was really light, and you know why? You notice, there's not a lot of people out here downtown. It's because it's Good Friday. I mean, it's the day. Before the Eastern weekend. Easter weekend. Thank
Easter.
You.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hmm. So, I mean, so get this. So, my wife says, well, let's go somewhere like Friday, Saturday, you know. So, just get away for a day or so. So, we figured, okay, let's go to Palm Springs, right? So, we call hotels and, you know, we called some of the nicer hotels. How much do you think it costs for a room per night?
About $300. 400.
Okay, well, they have a special. It's 1200 instead of 1400 this weekend.
Well, that's...
$1,400 fucking dollars, Manu.
Yeah, I know.
For one room. Now, who the fuck pays that kind of money? I mean,
a lot of people do now.
Even if I was rich, I don't understand the...
It's like in Vegas, huh, baby? Like, even at the Hard Rock Hotel. I mean, we're talking about like $900-$1,100 a night. Wow. And how people afford it is that, like... Four or five of them get together and they pay for a room, you know.
Think?
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
That's the way it always works, you know, even Vegas.
Yeah, unless you're a rich gambler or something, you know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but...
they get comped anyway. What do they care?
Yeah, they do. You know? They do.
Yeah.
I mean, the most prestige I've ever got was when I was working on the World Poker Series. I think it was in December last year.
Right.
Yeah, I worked on the World Poker Series, and I got comped three nights at the Bellagio.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it like a suite?
Really? Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
Nice.
And we got to eat at all the restaurants and so on. It's like, so
that's a blast.
Yeah, that's a nice comp right there.
Yeah.
Right? But I worked all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what
I'm
you
just
do.
So tired of Vegas. You know, I told you, I lived there twice, visited endless times. And, yeah, my wife wanted to go to Vegas this weekend. I said, what the hell am I going to do there?
No.
You know, we don't gamble.
You know what? You can't, you cannot go to Vegas or any place of weekends,
right,
or towards the end of the week. If you want discounted prices, you would have to go there on the Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights. They are the only nights that you can go and get a good bargain.
Yeah, during the week
bargain.
When there's not a lot of people. Yeah, but they have a lot of exceptions, and that is when they get conventions and trade shows into there, you know.
Yeah.
Then all bets are off. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, doesn't matter what day.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It gets very busy. Because that's how they survive, you know.
Yeah.
And like waves of tourists and business people and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just have absolutely no desire to go to Vegas, you know. We don't gamble, so what else do you have to do there? There's really nothing to do.
Well, you know. I mean, there's stuff that I would certainly do if I was to go back to Vegas. I mean, one, I have a friend of mine that still lives there.
Yeah.
You know, and she would be someone that I would definitely go ahead and see.
Yeah.
I might pop into the Hard Rock and give them the finger and say, fuck you all, look at your lousy, lousy, unhappy lives, good riddance. You know? I mean, seriously, hey. Yeah. I mean, look
at you left her on bad terms?
No, not at all. I left there on very good terms.
Yeah.
But, I mean, seriously, like, after working there, you get to understand the mentality that a lot of these people have.
Yeah.
It's a very sad life. Really? It really is. I mean, it's
how so?
Always. How so?
Yeah.
Because there is no, I mean, there is no life outside of the casino for these people,
see.
You know?
I see. Yeah.
I mean, look at the hours that you work. Yeah. And you stand there and you just, I mean, it's just a miserable, like, it's a dark cloud and it holds you in. And, you know, you have your, I mean, you come in like, hey, how you doing? You know, hey, how you feeling? Oh, I feel tired. Everything, the same response over and over and over again. I'm tired. I didn't sleep. La, 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 la. Everything.
Yeah.
And same with relationships. I mean, everyone's banging everybody.
Really?
I'm serious.
Cool.
And once one relationship's off, the other one starts with someone else. You know what I mean? And it's just really crazy.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a sad, sad world.
Yeah.
Sad world. So, anyway, but they're, you know, I'll let them go ahead and live their miserable lives.
Yeah. Did you hear that Starbucks was ordered by a court to pay $100 million in back tips to its baristas? You know what a barista is? That's what they call them, right? The people who work at Starbucks.
Yeah.
But apparently, they had supervisors sharing the tips with the employees. And apparently that's not...
That sucks.
Yeah. You know, because I guess it's not a common thing, right? I mean,
no,
management
it's not a common
does not share in the tips.
No, so, that's why they get paid a higher pay.
Exactly. You know, and because they don't really provide the service directly to the customer, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's a lot of fucking money, $100 million. And I guess somebody sued them in San Diego. And so this is
because,
back tips
you know, when
interest.
You think about it, in coffee shops, you don't get big tips.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked at a coffee shop before, and I remember, like, counting pennies by the time I left. You know what I mean? I'd be like, damn, am I supposed to share this shit with someone else? Like, and all you walk away was, like, $2 or $3.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So seriously, for a cup of coffee, it's $3, $4. You tip them 50 cents or a dollar. But that's it. I mean, they're not getting any more than that.
Yeah. Apparently, there is a California law that prohibits managers and supervisors from sharing an employee gratuities.
Right.
So, I mean, there's actually a law against it. So,
there should be.
They're in deep shit. But they don't need that kind of publicity right now, Starbucks.
No. No, I guess not.
You know, but, I can't imagine how many they're opening up. I mean, just around our block, I counted 4.
Yes,
in
there
one
is.
Block.
Yeah, one down there, just directly down there.
When there, one underneath our building,
there is.
One on Figueroa. There's one over here.
Yeah, I see that
in
one.
The corner.
And then there's one down on 6th Street and Hope.
Right.
On the corner.
But
is
I was just
Hope
talking about
like
one block. One block.
Yeah, I know.
You have 4 Starbucks. You know?
I know.
It's amazing. But I read on it once, and they figure, you know what, it's better if we...
saturate the area.
Yeah,
and then have competitors.
Yeah, it's okay if we cannibalize our own stores rather than somebody else coming in and taking our business away.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow. So it just
that's like, greed for you.
Yeah, but no, I think it's good business decisions. I mean, look at them; they've grown.
Yeah, I know.
They've grown quite a bit. I mean, they fucking own coffee.
Just like
you know?
Starbucks and McDonald's are probably the most well-known worldwide.
Yeah, brands. Yeah,
brands.
Probably Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola
is top. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about like coffee shop or something like that. Starbucks and what did I say the other one was?
McDonald's.
Oh, McDonald's. Yeah.
You know, you got to check this out in England. Okay, and they're showing a picture here of people walking on the sidewalks, and then on signposts they have like paddings on them. Okay, like they put like padding around the posts.
Yes.
And they're saying that it's a problem in England that people text message and walk at the same time. They keep bumping into things and running into things.
Are you serious? But you know what? That's, you know, it almost doesn't surprise me because from what I understand in America is catching on real fast with this is everything, they don't even talk on the cell. in England.
Really?
One, it is highly illegal to be driving and talking, for one thing. I think also it's they consider it kind of rude to be on the phone while you're walking around or something like that.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And so texting is like the biggest thing. And England and Australia has, well, I mean, I know this from Australia as well. I knew about texting in Australia even before I came over here. It was like everyone's texting. I mean, that's how long it's been around. I mean, that's how long we've been with it, so to speak, you know. Uh-huh. Same with England. That's how everybody communicates, is through the texting. And the phones, the phone technology in both the countries is just so way better than what you find here in the U.S. It's like amazing. It's like your own little computer, and it's just so much more easier, believe it or not, to text.
So, you know, they have a story there, a street called Brick Lane, and apparently, it's
padding around the poles.
Yeah, so, so people are like ricocheting off various stationery.
which I have done myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've done that.
Six and a half million street injuries.
Wow.
Each year.
Are you serious from texting?
Yeah. From texting and bumping. That's a lot.
Wow, that sounds crazy. That sounds kind of crazy. Yep. Well, that's funny news.
Yeah. What have you got? Have you got anything there?
What have I got? Well, you know, we're talking about money, I suppose, and everyone wants a raise. So eventually, of course, someone had to come up with the Day of the Penis. You know, the Day the Penis asked for a raise. Did you hear about that?
No.
Well, apparently there was this article last year in November. You know, it was a serious article, right? The penis needs a raise. So, I, the penis, hereby request a raise in salary for the following reasons, right? Uh-huh. I do physical labor. I work at great depths. I plunge headfirst into everything I do. I do not get weekends or public holidays off. I work in a damp environment. I work in a dark workplace that has poor ventilation. I work in high temperatures. And my work exposes me to contagious diseases. Sincerely, penis. Right? So there was a response. I think I saw this article in the LA Weekly, right?
Yeah.
So the response was, "Dear penis, after assessing your request and considering the arguments you have raised, the administration rejects your request for the following reasons. You do not work 8 hours straight. You fall asleep after brief work periods. You do not always follow the orders of the management team," right, which makes sense. "You do not stay in your designated area and are often seen visiting other locations."
I like that one.
That one's a good one.
Yeah.
"You do not take initiative. You need to be pressured and stimulated in order to start working," right? "You leave the workplace rather messy at the end of your shift. You don't always observe necessary safety regulations, such as wearing the correct protective clothing. And you will retire before you hit the age of 65, right? And you are unable to work double shifts. And it also says you sometimes leave your designated work area before you have completed the assigned task. And if that were not all, you have been seen constantly entering and exiting the workplace carrying two suspicious looking bags. Sincerely, Vagina."
That's good. So a dialogue between the penis and the vagina.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that was kind of clever, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty clever.
That's funny. Yeah, so Bush keeps insisting that that everything's okay, you know? I mean, it's like it seems like the whole world realizes that he's
except
on another
for
planet.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah. He's
I think that he's aware of it, but he's just pretending to be stupid, you know, or just like sort of like, you know, how people just deny, 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 and they keep on doing what they're doing. That's what he does.
He's the one that needs to shit on a crapper and stay there for 2 years.
Yeah. I just hope the history books are so fucking rough on him, you know? And they will be, too.
I hope so.
They will be. He's obviously the worst president we ever had.
In history.
You know? And what does all, that
from
tell
all
you?
Around the world.
Yeah.
In fact, I think he has even been rated worse than Hitler. Can you believe that?
By whom?
Just, you know, like by Dig News and other like Stumble and so on. Keith Oberman. Mm. Keith, you ever watch Keith Oberman?
No, I don't.
Keith Oberman.
He's a conservative on Fox.
Absolutely despises Bush.
Really?
Absolutely despises.
But isn't he a conservative? Isn't he a Republican?
Yeah. And he can't stand him. Wow. He can't stand him. He just like, you know.
That's the first.
And then did you hear Dick Cheney? I mean, he too is a stumbling fuck.
Oh, he's.
Did you say?
You see, Bush is stupid, but Cheney is a son of a bitch. That's the difference between them, you know. Cheney's not stupid.
But even Cheney stood up for a speech. I can't remember what speech. It was just very recent.
Right.
With regards to the war and so on. And he was totally saying that Iran is training, Al-Qaeda is training Iran to go into Iraq. I mean, he had it all back the front. I mean, so misinformed. The information was so ridiculously, so not what it was.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That he even had one of his spokespeople, because the media started laughing. I mean, I'm not kidding. The media started laughing.
Really?
And then it came up on YouTube. Hang on, no. What was that? Raw Stories.
Mm.
Right? It came up on rawstories.com. Mm. And the media started laughing. So his advisors came up like, I think you got it around the wrong way, you know. It's like it's supposed to be this and this. I mean, I can't repeat it because I don't know the... you know, the actual wording of it.
Yeah.
But he totally bumfucked himself. I mean, seriously. I'd be like, oh, my God, if he's elected, then we are facing someone just in the same footsteps as Bush.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to go directly the other way now. I think it's just a backlash.
I am praying and hoping that either Hillary or Obama get it, because I don't even think that I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah. Okay.
McCain. Yeah, well.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring something up and now I forgot.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Is there anything else in the news? I mean, it's such a slow day, news day, you know. Oh, this woman,
really.
Did you hear about this woman? You know, we heard about this guy getting eaten by a shark in Florida like a week ago or something. Now this woman.
Oh, really?
We talked about it. He totally forgot. Remember in the shark infested water where he went for a.
Oh, yeah, that idiot.
A cruise, yeah, and they had blood, animal blood in the water. And,
they threw in some churn and the I mean, like, are you serious? Like, you're going to jump in the water after they've thrown
in some
chin? He
without
a
cage, yeah. But at any rate, so in the same general direction, I guess this family went on a boat.
Right.
And then a stingray jumped out of the water, knocked the boat, and the mother fell over and died. Hit her head on the boat.
Right.
And died from a stingray.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the stingray just jumped out, knocked the boat, and the woman fell over and died.
Oh, my God.
I mean, is that, like, terrible in front of your kids and your husband to just die because a fucking fish jumped out of the water?
Yeah.
Oh, man, how terrible, you know, die.
I don't know. I think, this is my opinion, I think the people who are going into, you know, an area unsupervised or an area that they are so... not familiar with or in tune with,
right?
Don't even bother. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
It's like these people who come to Australia, go up to the Kimberleys, and they see the most gorgeous, gorgeous, like, lakes, waterfalls. I mean, you just see it and just think, oh, my God, I want to go to sleep. I mean, go for a swim and so on. They get so excited. And yet there are big-ass signs everywhere.
Yeah.
Do not swim because you will get eaten. Right, and they still do it.
Yeah,
there are so many. There's so many deaths in it. Well, quite a few chomps, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, Well, some people just, you know.
So it's like.
Oh, our number, 818-602-4498. I always forget to announce the number. Some people announce it every 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but I keep forgetting.
Wow, really?
Yes, so if you wish to call us, the number is 818-602-4498. And let's play another song, and because I'm in the mood for music today.
You are?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just want some music, you know, and I sort of like going through withdrawals because we went an hour and 15 minutes without a song.
Yeah.
So, which is cool. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back. It is Friday, and we're facing a nice weekend, holiday weekend, and it should
be
fun.
I'm working.
Yeah. Oh, well. Killer Queen by Queen.
You
that was their first hit.
Do you want to hear something else that Bush said that just sounds absolutely absurd?
Yeah. Always willing to listen to Bush.
He is now saying that Al-Qaeda is taking over the oil in Iraq, right?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, with the intentions of purposely building weapons of mass destruction so they could attack America and other free nations.
Yeah. This guy's a fucking lunatic. The fuck's wrong with him?
I mean, seriously. I mean, like, and that was in his fucking speech the other day. Yeah.
You know what I wanted to ask you is, what do you think of the penny? Do you really think we need fucking pennies?
The penny is worth shit.
It's only creating a problem.
Useless piece of crap.
You know, it's, what is the point? Why can't we round everything off to the closest or zero?
We do back in Australia. We got rid of the 1 cent, and we used to have 2 cents. We got rid of that as well.
But you know why this is? Is because marketers starting with this bullshit of the $3.99, $7.99 thing.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
of course.
It's like, yeah, it's only $5.99. No, it's fucking
$6.
$6, you know?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But you're seeing the five there, you know?
Oh, so yeah. Thinking, oh, it's just like my house, $1.99.
You know, so they all do this bullshit, but it creates this need for pennies that we don't really need.
Need.
I mean, they holds, they're, you know, when you have a lot of pennies, they're heavy, you know? I mean, sometimes your bill comes up to 10.01, okay? And you give them $20 bill. So they'll give you $9.99.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for crying out loud, can't you just round it off and give me a $10 bill?
Exactly.
You know? So it's, you know, it's pathetic. And it's just, nobody's getting up and saying, we don't need the penny anymore. You know, it's too small a denomination. We don't
need
it. I know.
That's what we did in Australia. We just says, like, we don't want the 1 cent. We don't want the 2 cents.
Yeah, who needs it?
It got brought up, and it was like, it was a very clear view. There's like, move away from it.
Yeah.
So everything's all rounded up or rounded down, whichever's closest.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of waste and a lot of things you can't understand, but I can't imagine why Congress couldn't just say, you know what, we really don't need the pennies anymore.
No.
Let's just do away with them.
But those fuckers don't know what the penny is. Seriously, they don't.
Yeah.
They get a big-ass fucking fat paycheck like Spitster is for the rest of his freaking life for fucking a whore and disrespecting everything, including, you know what I mean, selling off New York. Yeah, that's your reward, mate. We'll still pay you a few million dollars a year for the rest of your life. That's bullshit.
Yeah. I got a few music facts here that are interesting.
Music facts?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like,
let's do it.
Rock music. Ozzy Osbourne has said that when he's lonely, he talks to his knees.
Now, you know what? I think I heard about that.
Really?
Yeah, you know, in his reality show that he had years ago.
Yes, yes.
And he used to wear the Osbournes. Yeah, I remember him sitting down with his hands on his legs, and he was tapping away at his knees.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so he talks to his fucking knees. I mean, you see, kids, that's what happens when you fry your brain on drugs, man.
Doesn't he have? He has tattoos on his knees with smiley faces.
Yeah,
I think.
What doesn't he have? I mean, this guy is like, but he's so fun to listen to. You know,
he is.
He's like,
you know,
a character.
He talks and he's like, you cannot understand a word
with
he's
the
saying.
British accent, yeah. And he
but
slurs.
When he sings, it's like, oh my God, he still has a voice. I'm serious.
He does, and he sings well.
He sings bloody well.
Yeah,
I love his music. Despite anything, I love his music. It's awesome.
Yeah. Sonny and Cher originally called themselves Cleo and Caesar.
Oh.
Like Cleopatra, I guess.
Yeah. How funny.
Can you imagine?
That's gross.
Have you listened to Cleo and Caesar?
Well, we know that that was Cher's idea. Because she always considered herself as Cleopatra, right? She still thinks she's Cleopatra.
Does she?
Yeah.
Well, she kind of resembles her, I suppose.
I know, with all that plastic surgery that she's got now. Yeah. Wow. But I tell you what, that she—that is one woman that plastic surgery has done real good justice to, because she's still looking damn good.
Oh yeah, his wife Sharon Osbourne. Is that who you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about.
Oh, Cher.
Cher.
Yeah, I'm like still.
You're still on the Osbourne even
the
after you.
Here, yeah. But yeah, no, because Sharon Osbourne also went through transformation, and she was fat and stuff, and then she became like so hot and young looking.
Yeah,
you know, so.
And then she did that number on the Navy ship with that outfit that just didn't cover a damn thing.
I don't.
You don't remember that?
No.
I think it was that song, If You Could Turn Back Time. And she's in this, she's on a Navy ship.
You're talking about Cher again.
Cher, yeah.
Okay. Because I changed the subject to Cher and Osbourne. Now you're back to Cher. That's why I'm getting.
But you just said Cher and Osbourne.
Sharon Osbourne. Sharon.
Oh, Osbourne. You're just naming one person.
Yeah,
Sharon Osbourne.
Sharon.
All right, okay.
All right, fuck it. We're tired, man. I think we've had a long day today. Manu, it's Friday. I'm excited.
Is it?
Yes. Stay tuned for Dr. Michelle coming right up, right after this show at 11. And she's always got great, interesting shows. A psychologist by profession, and she sure knows what she's talking about. In fact, I was thinking of sitting down with her and analyzing Gary Garver.
Oh, really?
As far as the personality, but I think we'll let it go for now. And so, Dr. Michelle at 11. We also have coming up today T.J. McCormick at 12. With the world of TJ McCormick. Very funny guy, very interesting and unusual show, but you get hooked on it. It sort of grows on you. Following that is Johnny Dam with the Damage Report at 2 o'clock. He's going to have a big ass row with him again, and I'm looking forward to
big
that.
Big ass row.
Yes, and still, I haven't had a chance to take a look at her ass yet. I haven't been around when she comes in, but I'll go check her out at Stanley's where she works.
Stanley's? Where is Stanley's?
That's in the Valley.
Valley? Okay,
yes,
cool.
Sherman Oaks. So that's that. And then, of course, we have Amber Dillon at 4 with her co-host John. And they're going to be talking more gossip and celebrities and fashion and anything else you can think about that doesn't really matter. And that's it. So have a great weekend. Also, check our schedule for Saturday and Sunday shows.
Yes.
Sunday is full, packed with a lot of great shows. And we love you, and we thank you for making us who we are today. Listen, keep listening, and we'll talk to you next Monday.